online today.
Hello, America. Kate Delaney hanging out with you coast to coast and everywhere in between. Sadly, Camp Liberty in Baghdad, Iraq, became a war zone as an American Army sergeant goes berserk, shoots and kills five fellow soldiers. We have that sad, sad, tragic tale. Gas prices jump to new highs, she says with a chuckle. $2.24 a gallon. Remember, this time last year, you could add another $1.50 or so onto that. We were thinking we were going to pay $5, almost like we were living in England where they're paying $6 and $7, the equivalent so far to what we would have if you actually did the XE.com. Go to XE.com, that's the exchange rate thing, and you'll be blown away when you start to compare euros and some other things. Also, what happens when the insurance industry, doctors, hospitals, pharmaceutical companies meet? There's no punchline in this. Obama says it's a solution to the health care woes in this nation. We'll talk about that. And the Navy wanted to do a flyby of their own over Manhattan. Yeah, the World Trade Center. Are you kidding? The FAA said no way. And there's massive fallout from the White House correspondence dinner over the weekend. Wanda Sykes, who I think is hilarious, was the mistress of ceremonies. And she took some jabs at Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. Some people think that she was a little off the rails. I'll let you decide. Check this out.
Rush Limbaugh, one of your big critics. Boy, Rush Limbaugh said he hopes this administration fails. Yeah. So you're saying, I hope America fails. You're like, I don't care about people losing their homes or jobs or our soldiers in Iraq. He just wants the country to fail. To me, that's treason. He's not saying anything differently than what Osama bin Laden is saying. You know, you might want to look into this, sir, because I think maybe Rush Limbaugh was the 20th hijacker, but he was just so strung out on Oxycontin, he missed his flight. But you're laughing inside. I know you're laughing. Rush Limbaugh, I hope the country fails. I hope his kidneys fail. How about that? He needs to go waterboarding. That's what he needs. Sean Hannity said he was going to get waterboarded for charity for armed first forces. He hasn't done it yet, I see. You know, talking about he can take a waterboard. Please. Yeah, okay, yeah, you may want your waterboard by someone you know or trust, but, you know, let somebody from Pakistan waterboard. Keith Olbermann, let Keith Olbermann waterboard. He can't take a waterboard. I can break Sean Hannity just by giving him a middle seat in coach.
You got to love that. Again, that was Wanda Sykes. And she asked the question when she turned to the president, too much. Joining us now on the show, my pal comedian Robin Fairbanks. She's in the book that Judy Brown wrote, She's So Funny. And she's crisscrossed all over the place doing the comedy thing. I admire anyone who can get up and do that at any time. Also, she manages a great new breakout band called Shoddy. We're going to let you hear one of their cuts off of some of their new work, Not Today, After Work. That's coming up around the bend. Robin, how are you, my friend?
Hi, Kate. I'm doing fantastic.
Boy, did you listen to that Sykes stuff that we just played? I got to say, I thought she was funny. Was it too much, though?
Actually, I felt uncomfortable listening to it because I've been in that situation where things aren't going well. So for me, just to even watch the tape and listen, it made me feel uncomfortable.
So is it because, and I guess I didn't think about this until the aftermath, the fallout and whatnot. Is it because it was too 9/11 reference-ish and what she said about Limbaugh, personal deal about the kidney and stuff and the waterboarding thing?
I don't know so much about the 9/11. I just think it was mean-spirited. And people aren't there to hear that. You know, I mean, I feel there's going to be jabs, but I thought it was really mean-spirited. And honestly, even as a comedian, there were a few jokes that I thought were really, you know, funny toward the end, but I didn't find a lot of that funny at all.
Wow, and so she is taking a beating. I mean, even from, it doesn't matter what the label is, people listening to us, Republican, Independent, Democrat, Liberal, Undecided, whatever, she's taking a beating in the press, so you think that's pretty fair. And when you put yourself out there, that's the name of the game. You know, you push the envelope too far, or it just doesn't go well for you, certainly you're open to be criticized, right?
Yes, yeah. If you're going to, you know, stand the line, then you've got to be prepared to take the hit. And you're going to hear it from both sides, certainly. You're going to have the people that are going to love you that you went over the line and crossed it. And then you're going to have the people that think, and I've already seen it today, that said she was too mean-spirited. And if you look at even the YouTube of that and watch the faces on a lot of the people, I mean, people were, I think, really uncomfortable with some of the material.
Yeah, I think that the president winced a little bit, and Mrs. Barack Obama, she did too. She got a kind of an uncomfortable look in her face. And I know they like Wanda, and you know, they're rooting for her to do well. The female, she's up there, isn't this great? This is the first White House correspondence dinner. So you think that whoever she ran her material by, because I'm sure she did, right? Isn't that what you do when you're a comic?
Well, yeah, but usually by the time you're at that level, you're not even writing your own material anymore. You've got writers, so I would be questioning my writers at this point, that somebody said, oh, yeah, this is going to be funny. Yeah. We've all made that call as a comic where we thought something was really good and it didn't work.
When you're out there
and it doesn't work, it can be a long time.
Yeah, now she could have made fun of Rush Limbaugh, right? But it just came across too mean-spirited, what she said. I mean, and Rush can take it. He loves it. And same with Hannity, they can take it. But it was just that you felt, and a lot of people felt, it's just a little bit too mean, too big of a dig.
Yeah, because when she made references like she said, you're laughing on the inside, those are common references that comics will say when they feel uncomfortable themselves. That's one of them. You'll get this on the way home. Oh, you'll be laughing on the way home. You'll be telling this at the water cooler tomorrow. I felt she was uncomfortable. She knew it wasn't working, and she knew she had a lot more time up there. And there's nothing worse when it's not going well.
So she was dying on the inside.
Oh, yeah, it's bad. And I guarantee you, I mean, I know a lot of comics that do corporate work, and they've been through that same situation where things just didn't hit, just didn't, you know, resonate with the audience. And I guarantee you, last night on the way home, she had her limo driver stop at check in the cash and cash that check she got before today.
Yeah, she wanted to make sure it clears. Hey, I said that we were going to, and we're going to have you back on, and we're going to have your one of the bands you represent anyway back on, Shoddy, because, boy, these kids have worked really hard, and it looks like they're about to break through. And we want to play one of their tracks as we fade out here. Robin, thanks so much for joining us, and we're going to catch up with you and the band in the next week or two, okay?
Sure, thanks. I think you're silly. I think you're prone. Let's get away for a while. Not today. Maybe sometime later. Maybe after.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. May 11, 2009. Gold opened this morning at $911.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $938.30, $469.15 for the half ounce, and $234.57 for a quarter ounce. That's $938.30, $469.15, and $234.57.
How is it that we the people grow the cotton, weave it into fabric, engrave the ink, embed the strips and fibers that protect it from counterfeit, then cart the money off to a privately owned bank to have it lent back to us at interest, forcing us to pay taxes and servicing debt? Is this capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when he said, a central bank issuing a public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar inside of a book that explains how the monetary system works. Call for your copy, 1-800-686-2237. Isn't it time to understand the system? Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today.
1-800-210-1922.
With Choose for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet.
1-800-210-1922.
Or go to orderchoose.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Attorney Rick Robertson joins us now. He's a partner from Coons Fuller in Dallas. He's a real expert when it comes to electronic evidence. And how big is electronic evidence? Ask anyone who's been pinched in a divorce case, for example. That crazy errant email can get you in trouble. You hit delete and you think it's gone. Even, no kidding, GPS is big. Also, if you look at those red light cameras at the intersections, I always hated those. Rick, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Kay. Glad to be on board.
It really is true. Electronic evidence has taken over the courtroom in some cases, isn't it?
You know, it really has. It's pretty fascinating because the courtroom typically is dealing with what lawyers like to refer to as smoking guns. And in the past, those smoking guns ended up being a love letter that somebody intercepted. Sometimes it was also a photo of someone with someone else. Other times it might be getting a bank statement that was mailed to the wrong address, and those smoking guns can make all the difference. In today's time, we all leave digital footprints virtually everywhere we go, from the toll tags that tell when we're going in and out of certain phone booths or out of certain booths, to, of course, the red light cameras, which just coincidentally sometimes can contradict someone's testimony that they were in Seattle when they were really in Dallas, to emails, text messages, voice messages, all the above. We are simply covered up with digital footprints that we leave everywhere, and those have become some of the most important evidence that we find in court.
How about the legality of it? In other words, you let's say you're representing the person and you've somehow gotten a hold of this evidence. How does that stand up in court? Because I know there's been some problems with the GPS thing.
Boy, that's a great question, because most of us have no idea what's legal and what's not legal. And it's hard to tell when we do searches on the Internet and find devices and equipment and software that allow us to tap into telephones, that allow us to intercept emails, that allow us to download text messages and things of that nature. The truth is that both state and federal laws govern the legality and sometimes the illegality of various types of electronic evidence that we might try for. Generally speaking, if someone is going to record a conversation, that conversation must be recorded by at least one of the parties, as opposed to a third person who is not a party to it, in order for it to be legal. Same with GPSs. You certainly have a right to put a GPS device or a tracking device on your own car, but you don't have the right to put one on someone else's. The thing that we see in divorce cases sometimes is that husband will have a car in his name, and he will also have the wife's car in his name. And if, for example, he suspects that his wife may be going places she shouldn't, and he hires an investigator to put a GPS tracking device on that car, technically that's not illegal since it was his car and it's registered in his name. But it is absolutely a trap for the unwary and can cause all kinds of problems if people break the laws in gathering the electronic evidence.
Yeah, and how about for your own defense? I guess if you were embroiled in the middle, and we'll stick with the whole divorce thing, if you're in the middle of this, and it seems like it's starting out okay, and then we know how that is, you know certainly better than I do, it veers off in different directions. Should you change, like, for example, the passwords on your online banking accounts and the credit cards? What do you do there?
Boy, that's a great idea. And in fact, in virtually every case, it's a good idea, if you believe that you're getting ready to go through a divorce, to change passwords on all of your email accounts, to change passwords on your computer itself, to put a password if you don't have one on your cell phone or your PDA, and to certainly change the access to all of your bank accounts. And that's kind of standard operating procedure.
And emails, too, we know that people are getting busted in all forms of the law with emails because they assume, is this right, Rick, that when they hit delete, that it's just gone forever, nobody can get it, but they don't realize an expert can get it off of your computer, right?
You are absolutely right, Kate. And, you know, one of the funny things is that in this digital age, we all thought that we would be saving paper. And, in fact, just the opposite is true. We kill more trees just printing out all the emails that end up being used as evidence than you can possibly imagine. People also are much more inclined, when they're sending emails back and forth, to say things that they would never say otherwise, either in person or in a written letter that they're thinking of as being admissible as evidence in court. But more and more often, what happens is that lawyers and parties are hiring experts who go in and do a forensic evaluation of a computer. And doing that forensic evaluation can help recover deleted emails, deleted files, deleted photos, anything that is on that computer, including web pages that have been visited, online email accounts, things of that nature. And it is never secure to assume that when you hit delete that all the evidence has been destroyed.
Yeah, you know, there's an interesting story somebody told me about, and you'll certainly know about this, and it has to do with Chuck Rosenthal. For people who don't know, listening across America, he was district attorney of Harris County and very famous, I think, across the nation anyway. He was quoted a lot because he tried to convict Andrea Yates, the insane child killer, and certainly used the death penalty a ton. We've talked about it here on America Tonight. What happened to Chuck Rosenthal? How did he get caught in this evidence web?
Well, Chuck, like so many people, was accused of doing something, and he denied doing it. In this particular situation, he was accused of having an affair, which he vigorously denied. It turned out, when they went in and checked the text messages, that in fact He had lied to everyone, and it created a very embarrassing situation, similar, although not as bad, as the one that John Edwards is faced with right now. Mm. Same thing happened to the mayor of Detroit, who ended up firing a couple of employees, and those employees claimed that they were fired because their boss was having an affair, and they had pointed it out to other people. He denied it, fired them over it. They ended up filing suit against the city of Detroit, got an $8 million verdict, which, again, led to the demise of the good mayor. It's amazing, if you just keep your eyes open and your ears open and look at the news these days, how often electronic evidence and electronic details is becoming a critical factor. For example, just look at how much publicity comes from Facebook and Craigslist, with the Craigslist killer,
yep.
With Facebook entries that people make, and it is, again, amazing how people don't realize that those things can come back to haunt them.
Yeah, no kidding. So what does this do to private eyes? Do they also have to upgrade, I would assume, their arsenal too, right?
Not only do they upgrade their arsenal, but they do have to make sure that they have all of their licensing in order, because in Texas it is illegal for someone to be gathering electronic data unless they are a licensed private investigator as well. So we have new devices that are being created, new software that are being created on a regular basis. You have to have expertise, not only in the use of the devices, but also in the use of the software if you are going to be competent to testify in court. And on top of that, you have to be licensed. So being a competent and effective private investigator these days involves a great deal more than it did 20 years ago.
Yeah, no kidding. Rick Robertson certainly knows what he's talking about. Recently picked up an award for the best legal writing for a paper on this very subject that we're talking about. Will you come back on with us again, Rick?
Be glad to. I appreciate it, Kay.
All right. Rick Robertson, of course, a partner in Coons Fuller. Hey, Rick, I knew the email stuff, but all the other forms, especially now we see GPS, a lot of stuff is coming out with the GPS as well.
Well, here's a couple of things that people don't know, and that is that it's very easy to put an application on an iPhone that is a GPS tracking device, and that it will then email to whoever you set it to the full route that can be translated on the Google Maps, and it'll tell the time on route and the whole nine yards. And so people don't even have to install a GPS. They can simply accidentally, quote-unquote, leave their phone in their spouse's car and come back with all the information as well.
Boy, that's just crazy. Hey, we'll catch up with you again, and especially because there's a lot of cases going on, so I'd love to consult you on that.
Absolutely glad to do so. It is an incredibly active area of evidence, and mm-hmm. I was giving a speech for the state bar on totally different things a couple of weeks ago, and what the audience wanted to talk about was electronic evidence.
Of course, of course. Hey, keep dry up there in Plano.
All right, you take care.
All right, thanks, Rick.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We have much more coming your way next on America Tonight.
IonicZone.com sells virus, bacteria, and mold-killing products that will protect you and your loved ones from airborne pathogens, biological threats, chemtrails, you name it. For instance, IonicZone sells their patented ozone generators from $279, digital water ozonators from $135, and UVC dual lamp induct air sanitizers from $279. IonicZone also sells highly effective alternative health products. For instance, Jim Humble's revolutionary internal virus-killing invention, MMS, Miracle Mineral Solution, Canada's Nurserine Cases, Asciox-T, naturopath-recommended Super Zeolite for heavy metal detox, even an ozone handheld bidet. If you're interested in natural healing, you'll love what Ionic Zone has to offer. Ionic Zone also offers free home business opportunities that will make you well over $1,000 a month. Call Mike, toll free at 1-800-549-9535 to inquire, or go to IonicZone.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, As the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit AcolaBlue.com. AcolaBlue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a five-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing five-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Acola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Acola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Acola Blue at ECOLOBLUE.com today.
You already know that drinking pure, high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline, to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. 269-216-9767 today.
It's night. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging out with you. Birthdays. Who's celebrating yet another turn on the calendar? As somebody told me once a long time ago, another day above the earth is a reason for celebration. More to do, more to see, and more praise to heap on those around you. So anyway, the birthday deal will have that also this day in history, plus the upside down all around news you can abuse. That's coming up as well. Speaking of news you can abuse, boy, there was a ton of that happening here on Monday. Don's listening to us in Wyoming. Hey, Don, how are you, buddy?
I'm well, Kate. How are you tonight?
I'm good. You know, I caught the, I went to a matinee of the Star Trek deal. I saw Star Trek. I liked it. I say big five thumbs up. It was awesome.
Yeah, I that's the same thing I did. I took the matinee in and, with these ticket prices, you know.
Oh, it's crazy, so, I know.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because it did almost $80 million, but and then they're trying to compare it to a film from, you know, what, the $30 million the one did back in, what was it, 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, yeah, look at the difference in prices of the tickets, though. You know, that's why I've always liked them, if they just go by how many tickets were sold, you know. That gives
agree.
A better idea. Who, you know, who cares, you know, the total amount. I mean, I've got a book, you know, that's got all that, one of those almanacs, and I think they said something like 1.5 billion people have watched Gone with the Wind.
Exactly.
Even though Titanic holds the, you know, the most, you know, money-wise. But anyway, though, yeah. Hey, you know, it's interesting. I approved of it, too. I really enjoyed it. There were a couple of things in there that didn't really match up well. You know, if you're a Trekkie and you understand all the previous movies and the stories and all. And I mean, in the original series, there was nothing going on between Spock and Uhura, you know. And I was just like, what is this, you know?
So, I know, I thought that was weird, too. I thought that was the one thing that that caught my attention. And you know more about Star Trek than I do, but I picked that out right away. That was odd, yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, when Spock dies and they're at the colonies, you know, he sits there and he says to Kirk, he says, what do you think of, I never took the Kobayashi Maru, what do you think of my solution? And of course, then you find out in this film that he was the one that created the Kobayashi Maru, so how could he have not taken it if he created it? But overall, though, I don't watch too much television, but this Abrams guy really did a good job directing this movie. And, you know, I mean, it's like they said, you can bring in your kids and just say, hey, man, this is kind of the stuff, you know, your old man grew up on, you know, and they can really enjoy it as a, you know, family, you know, for the most part, a family film. So
I agree.
But
yeah.
But anyway, though, what was the other thing I wanted to share with you? Sad thing going on over in Iraq, you know.
No kidding.
Three tours is a lot to ask for anybody.
Yep.
And, you know, I shake my head. I don't want to blame Slick Willie too much for it. He was the one that cut back quite a bit on our personnel in the Department of Defense when he was president, you know. But, Kate, when you look at the American population, you know, over 300 million now, and you look at the Department of Defense, less than 1.5 million, that's half of 1%.
Mm.
And I just shake my head at that, like, you've got to be kidding me, you know, that just seems like, you know, it's like, that's, you know, there's more people in jail, in prison, in the United States right now than there is in our military.
That's right.
And then when something comes up like this, and of course I know our little wussy liberals are sitting back going, well, we shouldn't have gone there in the first place, and we should, of course, they voted for it, but, and you know, and we should ever fight, and we should just get BI slapped every time some other country wants to do anything to us, we should just take it, you know. These are the, you know, these little kumbaya people who think that, you know, well, we don't need a military, just everybody can get along. Not the real world, you know.
That's right.
But this is really something sad, you know. I mean, and especially when things have seemed to have turned the corner in Iraq, and it's, you know, and we talked, I think, last week, we just said, you know, it's probably time to, you know, be getting these troops out of there, and these people want to accept freedom for themselves, or they want to fight and kill each other. You know, don't blame it on us. We got rid of Saddam for you. No, but none of you had the guts to take him out or to try to take him out. Maybe they didn't have the ability to, you know. And that comes back to also, Kate, you know, this thing about sanctions, we've had sanctions on Cuba for how long now? Over 50 years?
Yeah, 50 years.
Did it ever get rid of Castro?
No.
You know, and what it does is it just keeps the whole country poor. I mean, if we hadn't done economic sanctions, you know, and maybe there had been a few businessmen there that had racked up a few million bucks or something like that without the government knowing about it, and they had enough money to assassinate him or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to me when there's sanctions, you know, it stops getting things in and out, you know, people in and out, and
yeah, who does it hurt?
It just doesn't, you know, and it hurts the people there, and it.
That's right.
It just doesn't change, you know. I mean, you know, look at North Korea, you know. The whole country's in massive poverty, except for the people in the military.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
that's,
so it doesn't change the plight. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Sanctions on them have really gone a long place, haven't they?
Yeah.
So, I agree.
It's just that hammer that they lay down because that's what's been done in the past, and figuring the threat, ooh, they can't have that happen because of the commerce and whatever. But you're right. Ultimately, the people that are choked off by this are the people that are already dirt poor, and it's definitely never the government. They don't flip their ideology, and it just doesn't work. It's tired, it's old, it's outdated, and we've seen it. And the threat for sanctions doesn't work either. We saw that with Iran.
Right.
Crazy.
All right, Kim, I'm going to let you go.
All right, Don, glad that you saw Star Trek, too. Because I say the same thing. Don says yes. Don and I are big movie fans. That's a form of relaxation, I'm assuming, for him as it is for me. And I'm not a Trekkie, but I wanted a break in the action. Saw that J.J. Abrams did it and figured it was going to be pretty good. And I wouldn't say it's the best film I ever said, but I would say it's pretty darn good. And I think some of the things that Don pointed out were right. There were a few things I knew weren't right, even though I don't know too much about Star Trek. I picked up the relationship thing with Spock right away, that seemed off because I didn't remember anything about that. But overall, still pretty good, and obviously people were interested in seeing it because it did rake in some big dough at the box office. Hey, speaking of interested in seeing it, there has been this massive push for hearings on the interrogation memos. Democrats are pushing to get these hearings going, and now you've got a whole batch of newly released Bush memos that are supposedly justifying the harsh interrogations of the suspects or not. So there is a push to still continue to try to have that. But what's weird is you think of how powerful Nancy Pelosi is and where she is in the pecking order, but the deal that broke last week with Pelosi, the fact that she was briefed on the techniques and then the terse little statement that they released as a result. I mean, give me a break. What did she know? What didn't she know? She's, you know, like a bat out of hell going after everybody, trying to figure out ways to nail the guys who were the architects of the memos in the first place. And now I'd say she's got some explaining to do. She keeps trying to clarify when she initially learned of the interrogation stuff in the first place. And now that they've got this Senate Judiciary Subcommittee scheduled a hearing for Wednesday that's being billed, of course, as the first public hearing on the memos since their release. So the Senate's public hearing and the House hearings are all coming up, show that you know, there's no stoppage of this. Because remember, the one thing that Obama did say is, I know that Obama was saying not to have these hearings, but they're going to have the hearings anyway. And even the White House flunky, Robert Gibbs, has said that, look, the administration prefers an inquiry already underway by the Senate Intelligence Committee, because they're behind closed doors when they deal with classified information. So this is going to be interesting to see if anything fruitful comes out of these hearings. Of course, I'm saying no, hell no, and I don't understand why they're doing them either. Let's make it worse. Let's put more gasoline on this fire, but that's the direction. And now Pelosi, of course, has got to explain when she knew, what she knew, all that sort of stuff. And she was briefed in 2002, and clearly in what she was briefed on, at least from what we understand, she knew what was legal and what was being planned for future use, so she can't say she wasn't aware of it. So, I mean, come on, give me a break here. I guess she didn't assume that this would be released. Oh, duh. I forgot that I knew what was happening. I would think that this would be something that would come up pretty fast in all of this. And the CIA records, and here's the problem, and this is what it's going to become. The CIA records did say that she was briefed on the techniques, but it doesn't say specifically. In other words, did they say the waterboarding, we're going to use it as much as possible because we feel that this is going to work? Or, you know, how was it presented? You know, bottom line, though, let's cut all the crap. Pelosi knew. She knew it was happening. It's not like she was screaming from the rooftops to stop it. And now there's this hearing, and, you know, I hope she ends up with egg in her face. She should. Because she certainly can't say she was completely had no knowledge of it whatsoever. Hey, join me on the flip side, because we're going to be talking this day in history, birthdays, and some other things, too, as well. Hang with us.
Is that allowed on school property?
Finally in the news this evening, it's being reported that cyber spies from Russia and China have now penetrated our power grid. Even as energy experts are reporting that each summer we get closer and closer to the limits of our nation's power grid, some say that this summer's demand for electrical power may finally push the grid over its edge, creating a cascade of power outages across the country, putting us all in the dark.
Are you prepared for the next round of storm-related outages or government-created blackouts? Have you ever thought about taking steps to get off the grid and generate your own private supply of electrical power? If so, this will be the most important information you have ever heard. Solar-powered generators are finally available. They have no moving parts to wear out or break and require absolutely no gas whatsoever. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Check out mysolarbackup.com before you lose your power.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from PepperSpray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. PepperSpray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. PepperSpray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. PepperSpray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to PepperSpray.com. That's PepperSpray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
If you're paying attention to popular culture, kind of a brain break, they released the top baby names of 2008. Did you see this? There have been a lot of stories recently written on it. You know what the number one baby name for a girl is? Emma. And, see, it's recycled names. The number one name for a boy is Jacob. I didn't see anything different or odd in the list that I was looking at. Alexander for a boy was on the list, and Christopher was on the list. For girls, Chloe was on the list, Olivia was on the list, Ava was on the list, Emily was on the list. How do they decide what the top names are? I guess they just go through some of the hospital records. And once again, it depends on where the information comes from. Here's another thing. The name Barack has moved up. More people are naming their kid Barack. Elvis also. Miley Cyrus. Now, is that crazy or what? I'm going to name my baby Miley Cyrus. And then, of course, what is Miley Cyrus known for? Hannah Montana. So Hannah and Montana also have also gone up the list for baby names. Weak. Especially if you name your kid specifically after a celebrity. Hey, my name's Miley Cyrus. Oh, brutal. Then for the rest of your life, you are completely branded by your family because everybody realizes, oh, I know where that name came from. All right, time for news you can abuse. Hopefully you'll get a chuckle out of a couple of these quick stories. This from New York. When you're running a telephone scam, you probably don't want to call somebody in politics. Well, maybe. I'm not a U.S. senator anyway. One con artist made a huge mistake. He called the cell phone of New York Senator Charles Schumer. Just making random calls by one of those random call generators. He warned Schumer that his car warranty was about to expire. So even people on the do not call list, or those who don't own cars, can get, of course, those calls. Probably you've gotten some. I know I have. Schumer didn't hang up. He's asking the FTC to investigate the calls. The Better Business Bureau says last year it got more than 140,000 complaints about car warranty calls. Wow. Somebody must buy into this or they wouldn't keep doing it over and over and over again. This is a weird deal, and I was going to mention this on our last show, but you know all those sandbags that had to be filled in Fargo, North Dakota? What do you do with the sandbags once the waters have receded? You know, they had 6 million sandbags. So this is now kind of a health hazard. Can you recycle it? Do you reuse it? Certainly if it's not contaminated, right? Fargo is going to probably take most of it and use it as a barrier on top of their plastic liner at the landfill. That makes sense. Use it for Icy Rose, other projects. And, you know, that sand-salt mixture, 10,000 of the sandbags they'll put into that so it won't become as scarce. And they're trying to collect them for fear that the salt could hurt the grass. Not good if it busts open and gets into the grass and the gardens and all that. But it looks weird. I saw a picture of it, and it's just like, I mean, as far as the eye can see, you're seeing all these bags everywhere. Mm. Here's the last one for you. 14-year-old Justin Wright of Yuma, Arizona, is taking on his middle school and making a huge splash. You might have heard this story. There's a newspaper in Yuma, Arizona. They reported it first. He's got about 250 kids behind his push to get the school's dress code repealed. Oh, can't blame him. Currently, the kids at his school, Central Middle School, have to wear solid navy, red, or white shirts and bottoms in khaki, navy, or denim. He's saying that the policy violates students' free speech rights, costs families much more money to buy the special clothes, of course. And the school district is disputing it and saying the research shows uniforms are less expensive than street clothes. Some people, too, have the idea that if you have a uniform, you're more productive, which I don't see how you derive that. And we'll see how many signatures he gets and if anything will change. Of course, that would be a school board decision. Donovan, when you went to school, did you have to wear ever at any point any kind of a uniform that you remember?
Oh, heavens, no.
I like that. Oh, heavens, no.
Went to strictly public schools here in Minnesota, and they're not terribly fond of uniform policies.
But did they have any kind of codes about low-hanging pants or any of that stuff?
I believe there was a rule against baseball caps, as I recall, which I'm not much of a hat wearer anyway, so it didn't affect me, so I mostly ignored it.
Oh, it could be about what was on the cap or how it was turned and all that sort of stuff.
It was just a general prohibition against them. I don't know. I believe the statement was that they were distracting or too informal or some other questionable line of reasoning.
Sure. Yeah. I know that a lot of schools, the pants, how you wear the pants, you know, the low risers and all that sort of stuff, a lot of those are banned, and that becomes a point of contention. No tube tops, all that sort of stuff. It kind of makes sense that there's certain things you would ban, or anything with gang symbols, of course. Coming up, birthdays here in a few minutes, a couple of them, though. Actor Stephen Baldwin turns 43. Bruce Boxleitner is 59. He's married to Melissa Gilbert from Little House on the Prairie fame. Remember her? Also celebrating a birthday, actor Emilio Estevez is 47 years old, Charlie Sheen's brother, going by the family name. First, though, We have a stop to make, and that is May 12th. There are 233 days left in the year. Yes, it's true. 1907, actress Kate Hepburn was born in Hartford, Connecticut, went on to an illustrious career. 1932, the body of Charles Lindbergh Jr., the kidnapped son of Charles and Ann Lindbergh, sad, found in a wooded area near Hopewell, New Jersey. People refer to the Lindbergh case a ton. 1970, the Senate voted unanimously to confirm Harry A. Blackmun as the Supreme Court Justice. 1976, the Commerce Department said hurricanes would no longer be given only female names. There's kind of an outrage over that. 1982, in Fatima, Portugal, security guards overpowered a Spanish priest armed with a bayonet who was trying to reach Pope John Paul. And that was scary. Remember, the then spawned out of that a bigger, badder Pope-mobile? Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, NBC completed a merger with Universal Television Entertainment businesses to create a major media conglomerate. Anymore, that's what they have to keep generating themselves that way. A lot of media companies doing that. It was just a year ago when that devastating earthquake in China, in one of the provinces there, killed about 70,000 people. Also, nearly 400 workers were arrested in an immigration raid at a meat packing plant in Postville, Iowa. That captivated a lot of attention. And it was also announced, and now finally, it's just happened a couple of weeks ago, NBC announced that Jimmy Fallon would succeed Conan O'Brien as the host of Late Night. Boy, time sometimes seems to drag. I can't believe it's been an entire year, and he's now finally just debuted. All right, the rest of the birthdays. Baseball Hall of Famer Yogi Berra, 84 years old. Burt Bacharach, 81 years old. Linda Dano, soap opera actress, 66 years old. Singer, musician Steve Winwood, 61. Rock musician Billy Duffy is 48. A couple years older, actor Ving Rhames is 50. You might remember him from Mission Impossible. You know his face, trust me. Actor Scott Schwartz, 41. Actress Kim Fields is 40 years old. On the lower end of things, actor Christian Campbell is a whopping 37. Actor Jason Biggs, you see him a ton in a lot of the comedies, he's 31 years old. Actress Emily Van Camp is 23. Actor Malcolm David Kelly is 17 years old. From Everybody Loves Raymond, actor Sawyer and Sullivan Sweeten, 14 years old. Boy, they'll always have that in their background that they were on one of those hit television shows and they can go back and see themselves as little kids. Left a good one out here, actor Gabriel Byrne, who's back on TV on a Showtime series called In Treatment. Showtime or HBO, one of the two. He is 59 years old. Boy, he's been in some good movies that I've liked over the years. Thanks for all the emails. A lot of them I didn't get to. I promise we'll get to them on our next show. I'm going to leave you with this from Amy Vanderbilt. Good manners have much to do with the emotions. To make them ring true, one must feel them, not merely exhibit them.
Hello? Peter, we're not in Kansas anymore.